Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Acts chapter 10. Last week we talked about Saul going forth preaching, and then the Holy Spirit in verse 32 takes us from Saul to Peter. Just boom, from Saul to Peter. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is making a very solid point. It's not about Saul. It's not about Paul. It's not about Peter. These are men, as we'll talk about maybe in a moment, that God called, the sovereignty of God, the power of God, the purpose of God, that God called from walks of life, both of them being from the Jews, both of them being very zealous of the Jewish religion, and sent them forth to preach that Christ fulfilled the law, to a jot and a tittle, and saved his people from their sins. Everyone the Father gave him, he saved. And everyone the Father gave him will be with him in heaven and immortal glory. Now let's begin this text. Last time I left off, we're talking about Simon the Tanner. Now you consider this old zealous Jew who didn't eat unclean things, who did not associate with unclean people, living with a man that was a tanner. If you've ever, and most of us because of our age have been exposed to it, you've ever been around people that cured hides. Daddy taught me how to trap when I was 12 years old. I'd catch the critters, I'd skin them out, I'd bring them home, and I'd cure their hide. Well, tanning is similar to that, but take the hair off. Used to make clothing, leather, and other things. When a man is using the skins of animals, he uses the skins he has. I say that to make the point that I'm quite sure, in my mind at least, that Peter was dwelling with a man that had the hides of clean animals and unclean animals in his house, workshop, wherever it was at. So Peter was being exposed. Here's a self-righteous, zealous Jew, earnest in heart, but that's the way he'd been brought up. God had touched him. God had called him. God had brought him to him. But he's still looking, as he did in the Jewish religion, to stay away from unclean things. First, let's talk about why God separated clean from unclean animals and people. God told them, when you come into the land that I promised unto Abraham, and I'm going to paraphrase all of this just to get through it and stay with the text. So when you come into the land that I promised unto Abraham and to his seed after him, when you inherit this land, that was the kingdom, the land of Canaan, you shall not intermingle with the people of the land. God had chosen Israel as a nation to manifest his power, his righteous judgment, his providence, and I'll say it this way, his right to choose. He took a small nation of impudent, hard-headed, stiff-necked, sinful people and chose to manifest his power through them. Moses said in Deuteronomy 7, the Lord did not choose you because you were the most of any people or the best of any people, but because he loved your fathers. Why did he love them? Because it pleased him to. God chose them. God said, I'm going to give you this land. And before I go any farther, let me say this. And remember, Romans 9, all Israel is not Israel. It's not the children of the flesh, it's the children of the promise. Israel was manifested to show God and his glory and his power to choose a people to save and to live with him in eternal glory and to have a kingdom in this world. That physical nation was chosen, but all of those men are not spiritual Israel. And I've explained that enough, we should know it. Even the Pharisees, the Lord in John 10 said, you're not of my sheep, you do not hear my voice. Paul said it in Romans 9. But it was to manifest God did have a people among them, but for the purpose of God in the physical nation of Israel, that God would show these are my people to all the rest of the world. God set these hard, stiff-necked people apart from the world. And God carried them. And God loved them. And God blessed them. God told them, have nothing to do with these people. Don't marry them. Don't intermingle with them. Do not worship their gods. Stop there before I go further. God separated animals, the clean from the unclean. You can eat this because it's clean. You could eat certain types of deer. You could eat cattle. You could eat the certain fowl of the air. You could eat grasshoppers. They were considered fowl. You could not eat the old catfish because he's dirty. He's a bottom feeder. Boy, that would hurt me. You can't eat a pig because he's unclean. You can't eat certain things, certain fish, certain fowl because they're unclean. I've heard people justify that by saying the things said God eat is healthier for you than the things God told them not to eat. And that may be possibly so. I'm not a dietitian nor a doctor. I'm police. If I had any sense, I'd have done something good in life. But I make this point. The Lord separated them from the people of the world and He cleansed them. The Lord separated animals, clean from unclean, to make the point that's going to be revealed to us here today. Because God would bring in Gentiles into the church. Didn't say God would add them to the book of life. That book was written from before the foundation of the world. The Bible plainly teaches that. Ephesians 1 and 4 is one place in the New Testament. Every child of God, Jew and Gentile, was chosen before the foundation of the world in a covenant of grace between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And nothing can make that void. Christ died for each of those the Father gave Him. He gave them to Him before the foundation of the world. And at the end of this world, all of them shall come to Him in heaven and immortal glory, no matter what transpires in this world of time. But God separated the clean from the unclean to make the point that God would cleanse a people and to make the point that God's people are clean and they are not to be a part of the unclean. Peter was exposed to all these animal hides, and I'm sure some of them were unclean. And we'll get into that here. Get into some more of this, Lord. Keep my thoughts. You pray for me. Chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Now Cornelius is a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Centurion means he was a ruler in the Roman army. You know, Rome had conquered all the known world at that time. The fiercest dark beast. They had conquered the world. Italy was part of Rome. These men were all Italian because they came from Italy in Rome. And he was a centurion. That means he was over 100 people, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. They are soldiers. They are Italian. They are Romans. They are Gentile. How uncommon was it to have one from a Gentile lineage, one from Rome, one from Italy, described as this man would be? And I think it's kind of shows the fact of Paul being Jew and Roman, because he's both put together in a sense. But we see Cornelius was a devout man. That means that he was devout in the practice of religion. What he had in that day was the religion of the Jews. He had been exposed to them. He was kind to them, just like Dorcas mentioned in chapter 9. Was very charitable, very loving toward the Jews, what was left of the nation of Israel. He was a devout man in his practice They would pray three times a day. They had the hour of prayer at 9, the hour of prayer at noon, the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon, the hour of prayer in the morning. Remember them speaking in tongues, and they said they were drunk earlier in Acts. And he said, these men are not drunk, it's just the third hour of the day. It's the hour of prayer. They haven't drank anything yet. This is a man that's devout in his practice. He's devout in his prayer life. He's devout in trying to serve God in what was called the Jewish religion. Quite strange. What made this man devout? What made this man? Religion today will tell you, oh, this good man, he was so good that God smiled on him. Or he was so good that he decided out of a sound mind to accept the Lord and serve Him and come into His church. And while that's flattering to man, it's blasphemy to God. The man was devout because he was born of the Spirit of God. We're all sinners by nature. We're all dead in trespass and sin by nature. That's why Ephesians 2:1, one of my favorite texts, says, "And you hath he quickened." Paul speaking to Romans, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He was a devout man because God had touched him. He was born of the Spirit of God, by the hand of God, the providence of God in Christ for the purpose of God. A devout man, that's describing Cornelius. Already in the Jewish religion, Peter was in the Jewish religion. Peter was seeking the Messiah. He'd not yet heard the gospel. So is Cornelius. He's a devout man of the Jewish religion. One that feared God. That's a reverential fear of God. With all his house, he was doing as God had told them in the law. Teach these things unto thy sons and thy sons' sons. His whole house devoutly kept the Jewish religion. And he says he gave much alms to the people, the Jews, and prayed to God always. Didn't pray to Baal, didn't pray to Dagon, didn't pray to himself, prayed to God always. I'm going to tell you, you can tell a child of God, I say you can, but you can't, because prayer's in the closet of your heart 99.99% of the time, unless it's public prayer like in church or somewhere at the dinner table. But he prayed to God. A child of God prays. A child of God calls out to God. Why? Because he's our help. He's our rock. He is our God. He is our creator. He's our master. We know that. We realize that by the grace of God. And we pray to God in thanksgiving. We pray to God for help. We pray to God for leadership. I pray every day, Lord, lead me and guide me and keep me from sin. That's what we do because our nature is sin. Cornelius prayed to God always. This Gentile, this Italian soldier in the Roman army, but he saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, that's 3 o'clock hour of prayer, according to the Jewish law. And as he's in a vision, I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about Peter's experience here. I'll try to hold on to it in a moment. But he saw in a vision, evidently, about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Now, when we get to Peter, you'll see something similar. But I do believe that God sent an angel in a vision to Cornelius. We know angels don't have wings. Every angel I see in Scripture is a male. Let's get that out of the way to start with. It was not some sweet little blonde-haired woman come down with a halo on her head. It was an angel of God, a messenger of God, came to Cornelius and saying unto him, Cornelius, in verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. I can relate to that. And said, what is it, Lord? I think about Peter. When he cried to the Lord, depart from me. When he'd seen the glory of God working, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Yes, it feared. He was afraid. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But make this point, remember, what he saw was an angel, and he knows it's an angel. He said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." You pray to God daily. You pray to God always. How did Christ teach us to pray? Men ought always to pray. He prayed as he walked. He prayed as he lived. He prayed as he worked. He prayed as he went to sleep. He prayed constantly in a state of prayer. And thy prayers, your petition to God, acknowledging that he is God, the God of creation, your Savior, your Redeemer. And consider, this man is not even a Jew now. He's not even an Israelite. Your prayers to God are a memorial to God. They testify as you magnify God in your heart and in your body that he is God and that you are totally dependent upon him for all things. From the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the precious rain that falls from heaven, the roof over your heads, and even more so, not just the good gifts, but the perfect gifts, salvation, the knowledge of God, your religion, all that you have, you're dependent on God. This is a memorial before God. Because God is glorified. And now, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. There were two Simons there. He's clarifying. You go call for Simon Peter. Why? Because God is going to send the gospel to this man who's already born of the Holy Spirit. He's already devout. He already prays. He's already charitable. He already loves. He's no longer in a condition of sin and death. God hath touched him. God hath quickened him. God has spoken to him. He's already got life because life must precede action. And now he says, you call for Peter because I'm going to send Peter to you, this apostle of the Lord, this man who looks down upon Gentiles as dogs. He had something in store for Peter too, didn't he? I'm going to send him to you to preach the gospel. What will God do for one man? Is it not amazing? So you send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner. Boy, it's a messy job. Whose house is by the seaside, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He's not looking for instruction in anything other than how to serve God, how to know God, how to worship God, how to love God. The gospel brings life and immortality to light. It does not give life. Life comes through the Spirit of God when it pleaseth the Son of God to quicken one of his own. The gospel brings that life and immortality to life, and that's what God is sending to Cornelius, the gospel. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Brother Mike Smith used to say, we do communion together down at Oak Grove just about every year while Buford was there. And Brother Mike would always bring up the oughts in the Bible, the things we ought to do. He said, the Bible is full of oughts. Men ought always to pray. Men ought always to worship. Men, all the things that men ought to do. To love God. To love one another. You call for Simon Peter. I'm going to send him down there. I'm telling you exactly how to get there. He's by the seaside. Go down to the tanner's house. Ask for Simon Peter. And I'm going to send him to you to preach the gospel. Can you hear this way? I'm going to send this man to give you the good news. I'm going to bring you from the law of Moses. I'm going to bring you from the law of sin and death. I'm going to tell you and explain to you through Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that you're a child of God, even though you're a Gentile, that you have eternal life because you believe on me. You believe on me because I've revealed myself unto you. That dispels every false lie in the world. You didn't keep the law. You can't keep the law. The law was meant to show grace. And grace came in Jesus Christ, and so did truth. And when the angel, verse 7, which spake unto Cornelius was departed, Cornelius, he called two of his household servants. He's a man of power. He has servants. I can't help but think about the centurion that came to the Lord and said, I'm not worthy that thou should come unto my house. Just speak the word, and my daughter would be saved. What did the Lord say? Greater faith he hadn't seen in the house of Israel. The man had faith. A centurion, a Roman soldier. What does that tell us? That tells us he was born of the Spirit of God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Belief is a fruit of the Spirit. The angel was departed. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier. Now, it could be made the argument that this devout soldier was the devout to obey the general or the centurion. In my heart, at this point in time, unless it changes, I believe he was also devout in serving the Lord because he was there in the household of Cornelius, and Cornelius' whole house was devout in that Jewish religion. A devout soldier of them waited on him continually. Cornelius calls these people. And when he had declared all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He just plainly tells them, I was praying the ninth hour of the day, the third hour of prayer, and the angel appeared to me in a trance, and God told me to go down to Joppa and get this man named Simon, surnamed Peter, from the house of Simon the Tanner, and he's going to expound to us the things of God. You know, you think about that era and that time in the first century church, people were certainly hearing about this new sect. There in Jerusalem, as I've told you before, the Jews considered it heresy and blasphemy. But the Gentiles would hear it also. There must have been some knowledge talked about of people, whether good or bad, of the church. And I say that to make this point. Is it talked about today? Do we have to have an angel come down to teach us to preach the gospel? I say we already have had, and that angel was Christ. Verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. This is around lunchtime, noontime. The second hour of prayer, the second time of prayer. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but they were still making it ready. But while they made ready the meal, Peter, he fell into a trance. Now, I hope the Lord will bring out my thought on this that I had a day or so ago. Same thing with Cornelius. You've experienced times in your life, I'm sure, because you're all devoted. You're here every week. You try to serve the Lord by the grace of God. He's given you life. He's brought you here. You've gone through hardships. You've gone through joys. You've gone through laughter. You've gone through tears. You've faced death of your loved ones, all standing with God in the full knowledge that God has delivered His people and will all see Him in heaven in immortal glory. Therefore, you have prayed. And you have at some point in your life been in a situation where either you were praying or you were meditating or you were thinking about the Lord somewhere, somehow. And just for a brief glimpse of time, as Solomon said, you saw the Lord, your beloved, through the lattice of the window. Just a brief glimpse. You didn't see all of Him. You saw a little bit of it. Those brief little times when you draw nigh to God. It's like you're in a trance. God will give you a little bit of understanding. God will give you a little bit knowledge, a little bit deeper knowledge, a little bit more knowledge. God will give you more peace. And I know we've all experienced that. Peter became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open. God is going to reveal something to Peter. Read Revelation 4 Friday, because there is a text where a window, I believe, was opened in heaven. Or a door, one of the two. I can turn and find it to clarify it, and I want to clear it up next week like I did today with Matthew 23. But my point being, while I look for it, is it came down from God out of heaven. God told them in the Old Testament, I believe Malachi, if they return unto him and bring the tithes into his storehouse and love him and love his people, he'd open the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing. There wouldn't be room enough to receive it. 4:1, Revelation, a door was opened in heaven. But my point with all of this is that everything good, as we said in James, cometh down from the Father of lights, from God in heaven to us. God is going to reveal to the Apostle Peter, this Jew who by the law of Moses would not associate with the dogs. You remember the woman at the well in John 4? Jesus asked her to give him drink. Thou askest of me, a Samaritan, to give you drink? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We're dogs in your eyes. We left Judah. We went up into the north country. We assimilated with the Gentiles. We exist no more as a nation or sovereign people. They viewed them as dogs. God is going to give him quite an understanding. In this day and age in which we live, with white people hating black people and black people hating white people, let's just throw them all in there. With Asians and Africans and Europeans, Americans, everybody separated. That's the nature of man. That's the nature of man. Used to go to roll call at work. We all got by great and dandy, stood side by side, fought and got shot at together. We loved each other and would die for each other. But when we came to sit in roll call, the blacks sit on one side and the white on the other. That's human nature. But human nature is fallen. I do not see why we cannot worship together. I guess our nature keeps that joy from us. I have been to a few churches where different peoples worship together. And brethren, I got news for you. They worship just like us. Everybody's different. Everybody's zealous for the Lord in their own way. But God is giving this to Peter in a trance. Peter saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners. It's knit. It's like the old veil in the Old Testament. The high priest would go through to the Holy of Holies. It's cunningly knit. It's woven together in the fine, cunning work of God. That veil represented the flesh of Christ. We could not do that. We could not make that. We could not do that work and still cannot. We don't have the knowledge, the power, the ability, or anything that it would take. God did it. And this sheep is coming down showing Peter the work of God. It's let down to the earth. It comes down from God out of heaven to Peter. Wherein, verse 12, were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth. Where had Peter been? Do you think God doesn't prepare us for things? Where had Peter been? In the house of Simon the tanner. Clean and unclean beast. All upon this sheet, all were all manner of beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." I don't know how old Peter is at this point in time, but his whole life he'd been taught the Jewish religion. Not so, Lord, not so. How vile. How vile. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. He had never associated with anyone that was by the law common or unclean until Christ came. But a child of God is to love a child of God. Period. 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 And the voice spake unto him again the second time. Let me clear something up here. Let me clear something up here. Just as God separated them, we find in Paul's writings, to come out from among them and be ye separate. A child of God is to love God and to love God's people. And to go past that, we are to live as peaceably as we can with all men. And we love the wicked and we love the enemy in the way of giving them natural things when they're in need. But we're to be separate from them. I was going to say this a moment ago and it slipped my mind. Christ hanged between two men. He separated his people from the world. He separated his people from death. And we're not to be a part of the things of the world. We're separated from the world. We live in the world. And as Cornelius is about to find out with the preaching of the gospel, the things God would have us to do would be follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be separate from the world. Now, verse 15. And this voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, call not thou common." Doesn't matter who the man is. Doesn't matter if he's from Europe, Africa, Asia, wherever. If he's from the children of the East, he's from the land of Shinar, wherever he is from. If he's from Russia, China, America, Africa, Mexico, South America, wherever. What God hath cleansed, that is God's people. Not nations of men, but God's people. Call thou not common. You can't appease the devil. That's the reason I stress this so much. You appease, you lose. The old saying, give him an inch, he'll take a mile. When we start to bend, we eventually break. Been there, done that. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter, can you see this? Can you see this? This man brought up under the law, having all this teaching of the law. Gentiles are dogs. These animals are unclean. Yet God is telling me he cleansed them. I couldn't imagine the awe, A-W-E, the awe at God, or of God. Peter of God. Now, while Peter doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house. They've asked somebody, where does Simon live? The tanner down here by the seaside, and they stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. Is Peter there? While Peter thought on the vision that God had given unto him, the Spirit, capital S, Spirit of God, said unto him. God speaks to us. I don't know whether the Spirit stood before him or implanted it in his mind. It does not matter. The Spirit of God spoke to him. And the Spirit told him, listen here, preacher. Listen here. Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, Get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You get up and go with them. I sent you to preach the gospel. These are God's children. You go preach the gospel. You notice the church did not send Peter. You notice the Spirit of God sent Peter. That's the only way we will accept it, because that's the only biblical way where the Spirit of God leads. It's fine if two men agree on it, or three men, or 20 men, if the Spirit of God is the one leading the way. But God only has that authority, not the church. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you come? Why are you here? I'm Peter. I'm Simon Peter. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, this great leader of the Roman army, a just man, just. He's justified in Christ, even though being a Gentile. A just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Did you catch what that said? He was warned of God. Do you think we ought to heed the warning of God? And to be somewhere to listen and hear the gospel? Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them. I got to move, about getting close to the end. On the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied. You turn to chapter 11, verse 12, you'll see there were six of them that went with him. And the morrow after they, verse 24, entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. He's waiting to hear the gospel. We come to church and we wait for the Lord to appear, the gospel to be preached. He's here already, but we wait for the great manifestation and the knowledge of God that God gives us in the gospel of bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's so excited. Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. He invited people to come hear the gospel. I wish we all still did that. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Now let's look at this. Cornelius has already seen an angel. He knows Peter is not an angel, and he certainly knows that Peter is not Christ or God. He is worshiping Peter as a man, or as one, a man, who God has sent to bring the gospel. You can talk about kings. You can talk about senators and congressmen and presidents. That's all fine. But the highest office is the office of the God called ministry. He worshiped him. Do not worship men. Do not worship angels. Do not worship messengers. Listen to what Peter says. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. I am flesh. I am blood. I am dirt. I am a worm. I have the same passions. I have the same likes, the same dislikes, the same hatred, the same greed. Everything that comes natural to the death of the natural man I have. I'm a man just like you. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together, because the Cornelius has got the house full. Y'all come hear God's word. Come listen to God's word. If you love God, come hear. Had his friends, his loved ones, his neighbors, those he cared about. And he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful for a man, for unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? All Peter knows is that God told him to go with them, and he got up and he came. But Peter is about to have his eyes awakened that the Gentiles are partakers in the election of grace, and that they're also partakers of the kingdom of God in this world, in the kingdom of God which Christ established. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. That's the glory of God manifested in that angel that stood before him. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. He's going to speak to you of the things of God. He's going to teach you of the things of God. Preaching should be teaching. All manner of men that God calls to preach, all manner of preaching. But it's got to be teaching. Ephesians, he said, the last gift given was pastor, teacher. Teacher. Who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee? Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We're here to listen to you preach the gospel. The Word of God. What is that? Christ and Him crucified. It's not of man. It's not of the church. It's not of any unbiblical organization such as Sunday schools or seminars or choirs. It's not of the minister of the ministry. It's of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not of you saving yourself or the preacher saving you or your works or keeping the law, for you cannot, you're condemned by the law. It's Christ and Him crucified. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Explanation. Rightly divide the word of truth. That's a better way of saying this. God is no respecter of persons. He has people from every nation, kindred, of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's the proper way. Revelation 5:9. God is no respecter of persons. What does he say? He loves you, a Gentile, as much as he loves me, a Jew. God is no respecter of persons. But you believe this, and I prove it by the crucifixion of Christ, him hanging between two people. God is a respecter of persons, and those he has separated from the world, those contained in the election of grace, and those left in their own sins. But regarding the context and the nation and the of Israel and the Gentiles and the kingdom of God in this world, God is no respecter of persons, Jew or Gentile, Jew or Greek alike. They're all Jew in the eyes of God. But in every nation, verse 35, every nation, Matthew 24 We find where the Lord said that He would send His angels with the sound of the mighty trumpet to the four corners of the earth and gather together His elect. That is not speaking of the resurrection of the body. That is speaking of the ministry going forth into the Gentile nations, blowing the gospel trumpet. Remember the text, for He called you by our gospel. Once you've been born of the Spirit, God gives you a gospel call. Some never hear it. They live in nations where it has not or has not been. Some turn away from it. Matthew 13 will give us reasons for that. But God sends His angels out to all nations preaching the gospel, where He sends them. And we'll see later on in this book, He does not send them everywhere at one time. But in every nation, he that feareth God, if he fears God, he's born of God, and worketh righteous, another proof that he's born of God, is accepted with God, him, God. Well, you know, I've been told you better accept the Lord. One time, this is the true story, I had crutches. I got down off my, I walked down from the middle of the stadium at Leeds High School. This man down there telling me I might die and go to hell today. I'd been to Ebenezer, nowhere else. I went up there and heard this man yelling and telling me, you're going to die and go to hell. It'll be too late. And I came down and I accepted him in my heart. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the greatest confusion I ever experienced. That nothing made sense. I can do nothing. I knew I could do nothing. Yet I tried to do what the man told me. It brought me nothing but heartache. And when I got home the next meeting day, I was so thankful to hear about Jesus Christ saving me from my sins. Not what I did. Not what I had the power to do. Because I am depraved by my nature. And truth be known, I already knew the Lord. I wouldn't have had a desire, that's some more evidence, to be saved. That there's a saving in eternity, there's a saving in this world. And we need saving daily. And that's what God is sending them by the gospel, coming to Cornelius as Gentile, is a salvation in the world, in the kingdom of God, in the church. The word which God, verse 36, sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. I've got to move. Let me finish this. That word, I say, the gospel, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, because they'd heard about it, and began from Galilee after the preaching, after the baptism which John preached. That's the anointing given to the church in that day, that they could do all the things contained in Matthew 16 and go forth into the world. Matthew 16, Mark 16, declaring, bearing witness to God in Christ. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, and with power, all man, all God, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Has He not healed us? Has He not healed us from our death of sin? Does He not heal us daily as we seek God and pray to God always, walking with Him? Does He not pick us up? Does He not love us? Does He not save us daily? Does He not heal us daily? Are we not made whole as we walk? For God was with Him. And we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they, not Him, because He's a Gentile, slew and hanged on a tree, the Jews. Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly, not to everybody, but to chosen people. You cannot take God's choice out of the matter. You cannot take election out of the matter. The only children of God are the ones God chose. The only children saved are the ones God chose. The only ones in heaven and immortal glory are the ones God chose. Christ chose. God chose to reveal Him to 500 some odd brethren, to bear witness that He was alive. In that day of the apostles, for an apostle had to be a witness of His resurrection. He had to be ordained of it, and he had to see Him and handle Him and touch Him. And He commanded us to preach unto the people. There you go. To preach unto the people, the children of God, and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. He say in Acts 17 that by this man, Jesus Christ, God would judge the quick and the dead. Those that are His and those that are not. Those God gave Him to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Jesus said, he that believeth on me had already passed from death unto life. There's remission of sins eternally. There's remission of sins in this world as we walk with him and act upon our belief and magnify Christ in our body and are devout in the way that God told us to live in this world, being separate from the world. There's a remission of sins in that. There's peace. That's what comes from the preaching of the gospel. Peace. Verse 44, we'll close this out. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. They were already born of the Spirit now. Remember, they're devout men. This is the special manifestation of the Spirit, giving them the ability that the first century church had, Mark 16, to heal, to be bitten by deadly serpents, to drink poison, all the signs that are therein given. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, all six of them, all seven counting Peter, because that on the Gentiles, the dogs. Is God not merciful? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those gifts they had. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now I love this. When someone asks for a home in the church and someone wants to be baptized, if they have a repentant heart, I love this. These men that were dogs were filthy, were unclean, like the old leper had to cry out, unclean, unclean, don't get around them, they're unclean. These men, can any man forbid water? That these should not be baptized. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. How in the world can anybody ever deny a repenting sinner a home in the church? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And I like this part too as I close. Then prayed they to him to tarry certain days. That meeting was so good they wanted him to hang around.